Welcome to our podcast.
As a
I'm Vanessa.
matter of black.
I'm Bowie.
And what's up, y'all? It's your favorite radio and podcast hosts. In pod we trust. Osiris the pod.
So funny. Well, we're excited to be back for another episode of As a Matter of Black. It's like literally my favorite thing to do these days. Like, it's such a great time in my personal life. And I'm really, really, really excited actually today because we have an announcement.
Yes. So earlier this week, I texted Bowie with some exciting news
At the crack of dawn.
at the it wasn't the crack of dawn. She like,
It was the
man,
butt crack of dawn.
it was like close to 9 o'clock. It was like 8:30 or something like that. It wasn't like no 5 or 6, y'all. Anyway, interesting story. So I woke up to support one of my friends who's very creative. His name is Wesley Peters. He's an author, entrepreneur, dope. And he made a post about him and like several other authors that I know and we all kind of know in the community, the artist community, about them being nominated for best author in the Urbane Magazine Finest of 2024. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna hit the link, go vote for, you know what I'm saying, favorite author. And then, kind of like vote for a few of the people I knew, then get off. So 60 some categories later, I ran across Best Blog Radio slash Podcast. And the first name listed was As a Matter of Black.
That's us.
Blackest podcast, Casters, So I screenshotted the nomination, sent it to Bowie, texted to her. I ain't call her, so you know what I'm saying, if she get woke up at the butt crack of dawn by text message, she wasn't sleeping anyway. And we were just excited that how many years has it been?
It's been about 4 years.
4 years. This is like literally the first time we've been acknowledged for anything. So I thank you to whoever or however many of y'all like nominated us. But it's a great honor because, like I say, 4 years into this, and to see our name amongst a group of, I think it was two other podcasts,
Yeah, Twitter
two,
podcasters.
so three total podcasts, and then two are like the biggest radio stations in Arkansas. Which one of them is one company owns two of the radio stations.
Aren't they affiliated stations? But whatever.
I think it's All Clear Channel.
Okay.
I'm not even gonna mention them. Just go. If you want to go support us, please go to Facebook and go to Urbane Magazine. Urbane is spelled URBANE, and then magazine. Go to their Facebook page. If you look at their about and their bio section, they have a short link, an Insta bio for Urbane. And then if you go click that, you'll see the award category. Click that, and then you go vote for us. Fair warning, there is 79 categories. You don't have to vote for all 79 of these categories. You can go vote for who you know and then skip the rest. If you want to just vote for us and skip the rest, hey, we ain't mad.
I'm not bad at that.
But just look for best blog slash radio slash podcast, and As a Matter of Black is the
So it's literally the first one.
first name on there. Click it. Go to the end. Hit submit. Make sure you put your email in there, and that's how the vote is finalized. We would like to be, hey, we would like to make it to the round of the finalists or whatever it is, because, like I said, this would be the first time. And Bowie was gonna cry if we actually win.
I will cry if we win. I almost cried when I saw we got nominated because I was like, wow, that is so exciting. And like, I was like, this is probably like one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of that I've been a part of, like myself, like a creator and like an actual like participant. So I was like, that is really exciting and that's really cool. I'm literally like, I would love to win, but I really don't care if we win or not because I just feel like getting a nomination is that is super cool. Amongst like all the things that all the people that could have been nominated, like we were included. That is really cool to me.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because one of my friends, his group was nominated for Best Musical Group. And so he's not he's on social media, but he definitely not on social media as much as his wife. And so I sent a message to her and I was like, yo, your husband's group is nominated for Best Musical Group. And she was like, oh my God, wow, I gotta tell him. I was like, yeah, tell him. She was like, oh, I'm so glad you sent this to me, Osiris. And I'm seeing all these other people that I know on there. I'm gonna vote for them too. She was like, it's just great to see artists get recognition. I hope y'all win. I said, shit, we already won.
We already
Just being nominated is a win
won.
enough because artists don't get a lot of recognition, especially like independent artists, trying to break through in their craft. So we already won with the nomination, but.
Yeah, and I also think winning a part of it, like the winning part for me, is also like the opportunity to just be better. Like the opportunities that could come from something like this, from a nomination like this, just makes me want to like be better at podcasting and like be more consistent and be more serious about it. So that's a win in my book.
Get serious.
You get
You
serious.
get serious.
You get serious first and I'll be serious afterwards. You take the lead in this.
She want to walk in the footsteps. That's what you know what I'm saying? She want to walk in the footsteps, but it's all good. Hey, so go cast that vote. Go check out Urban Magazine.
We'll
We
put it
appreciate
in the link. Yeah, put the link in the comments too.
that. That's the key right there.
Yeah.
We had a little debacle on social media, not just us, it was a whole bunch of
Bunch
people.
of
But
people.
we're gonna put this link in the comments, so we're gonna support it that way too.
And we actually don't have to talk about the debacle at some point, but in a broader point
Yeah,
about
we
the
ain't gonna just
debacle.
talk about us being nominated. I mean, we're gonna talk
Yeah.
about haters on social media and
Yeah. Facebook's
ooh,
interesting rules and this type of every
Mark
all that type of stuff.
Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, all you know what? I ain't gonna talk about y'all
We
roly-poly
can't get
here.
into it
Okay,
right now. We can't ruin our nomination with that.
to get the episode took down. Yo, so listen, just get into it there. What's been going on?
Well, we brought up one historical thing, which was us being nominated in Irvine Magazine. So I figured we
We
could
made Black history with
make
that,
Black History
as a matter
here.
of Black
Black
history.
History 2024.
Yeah.
Something else historical that happened is the solar eclipse.
Yeah.
And I like as excited as I was about the nomination, I was super excited about watching the solar eclipse. I took off work because I was like, I actually had a vacation before
Yeah.
this, and I rearranged my vacation days so that I could like take off for the eclipse because I was just like, I'm actually not going to work. And like, in theory, I could have worked and I could have padded my time before and after the eclipse would work. But I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. This is a historical event. I want to be a part of it in totality, pun intended.
Oh.
And so I was like, I really wanted to just be out and like experiencing the eclipse. The whole city of Little Rock. So first of all, the eclipse is like this super historical, like celestial. Is it a celestial event? Solar event? I don't know. Like cosmic event.
All of that.
That never really happens. Like it's only supposed to happen really once in a lifetime, quote unquote. It's like a phenomenon. Oh, here's what it says. It's a cosmic event. Requiring the sun, the moon, and the earth to be in precise alignment. That's the actual definition of it. So I was right. No, great. And it doesn't happen that often, right? So like it, I don't even know like how often it actually happens, but it's like we're not really after this solar eclipse, they're not really expecting to see another full solar eclipse until like 2045 or something. And then like it happens for people all around the world at different times. So like for example, like the next full solar eclipse in the UK isn't expected to happen for another 66 years. So it'll be 2090 before the UK sees like a total solar eclipse. And we'll see partial ones. Like we saw a partial one in 2017. If anybody remembers, there was a partial
yeah,
solar eclipse
I
in
remember
2015.
That being like not a big deal here
not
in
a big
Arkansas,
deal.
You know what I'm saying?
Actually, my job, my former job, we had a party. Like we hosted this employee engagement party. Everybody just took off work and we had hot dogs and beer and everybody got a pair of sunglasses and
yeah,
came
I'm sitting
outside and
out there
watched
drinking
it.
brews and eating glizzies. Huh?
Yeah, and like looking at the sun. I wasn't there because I was doing
Enjoying
something else.
glizzy while looking at the eclipse.
Yes. I was like, okay, that's weird. But
glizzied out.
So shut up. So one of the really cool things about this solar eclipse for us was our location, because the solar eclipse was like the alignment of it is like literally like straight down, like from like New York all the way to like California in like this line. But like you had to be in what they call a path of totality in order to see it in its entirety.
Fullness, yeah.
Yeah. And Arkansas just so happened to be on the line. And they were in news and stuff were saying that like Arkansas was probably one of the best places to see it visibly. They suspected like 1.5 million people were coming to this state to like be a part of it. And so the city of Little Rock just really took advantage of this whole thing. And like this actually reminds me, like the next time something like this happens, like me and you and some other people need to just go ahead and come up with some type of business, just go ahead and pop on out for that weekend. Because businesses were making like loot. Like one of the breweries out here was made like 10 grand in like a day. They were paying their servers like $40 an hour. Like they had all these different specials and drinks and parties. They shut down the street. Every major street in Little Rock was basically shut down for the weekend to celebrate the eclipse. And I just thought, wow, that's such a cool thing that the city could really come together to like provide like top tier entertainment. Like there was live music, there were games, there were, you know, eclipse themed drinks and food and just excitement.
Yeah.
Throughout the city, I thought that was really cool. You even released a song for it.
Oh yes, a brother did release some music. You know what I'm saying? It was, I mean, that was my whole goal of it. Because when I first heard about the eclipse, I was thinking in my mind, like, big deal, 2017, it wasn't nothing going on.
Yeah.
Like, why are y'all so into it? Then from talking to numerous white people, I found out how, and a few black people, but I found out how big of a deal it was, because it was like 2017, I remember, going outside of my job, just looking at the sun for a second, and then somebody was like, you don't even be looking at the sun, you ain't got no eclipse glasses. I'm like, I don't even care. And you know what I'm saying? Dad's like, nah, go get something off the desk. And I was like, all right. And then it wasn't even a big deal. Like, I looked at it, and I was like, okay, we see something. But it didn't get dark or anything. It was just, you know, it was like a cloudy day, basically.
Right.
And so this time around, they explained that, you know, all the things that you just said. And I was like, wow. And then I'm going to tell you what the final, like, straw was. I went on a retreat. I went to this lodge in Arkansas probably about a month or so, about 2 months ago. And, you know, it was beautiful scenery, big lake, trails, hiking, horseback riding, all this stuff. And I was like, man, this probably be a dope place to, like, check out the eclipse. I was like, because it's just like full of nature and like the rooms are pretty straight. I'm like, I could probably just chill out here overnight and have a little eclipse watch party for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I went to the desk and I was like, excuse me, because the rooms were like hella cheap too, mind you. And so like, I was like, yo, I said, I know you probably heard about the eclipse and everything. I was like, I'm just wondering if there are any rooms available. She was like, nah, we ain't got no rooms available. I was like, all right, I figured that. I was like, you don't mind me asking, how long your room's been sold out? Oh, she was like, oh, since April of 2023. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, people was doing, checking out for this like a whole year in advance. And she was like, yeah, we're going to have several legislators planning on being here. We got some families. We got some entertainment coming in. We got all this stuff. And I was like, wow. I was like, if this random little lodge in a remote location in a city that ain't just barely incorporated. It's like doing it that big for the Eclipse. It's got to be major. So I was like, yo, I'm going to take advantage of the moment. I'm like, the Eclipse is going to be trending that day. I'm going to do a song about the Eclipse. And I'm going to do it in, but I'm going to do it in my way. So
that was really smart.
And so far, it looks like I'm doing all right. You know, we'll see the final numbers at the end of the month. So,
well, I feel like this is one of the things that really helped me to be like, you know, you can really just make life what you want it to be. And I feel like this is a really cool opportunity to just sort of just make a moment out of something and just really enjoy it. Like, I met people from all over the country, just from being out. I wasn't even out like that over the weekend, but the couple times that I was out, I ended up meeting some cool people, met some of my friends, their parents and their siblings. They came from out of town, so I got to like meet them and like just kind of talk about the day. And the whole city was just really exciting. I mean, it's one of those things that made me feel like I'm just really happy to be able to like experience this. And like, especially with so much like bad stuff happening in the world, it's like really cool to be able to capture or to be a part of like something historical that's good and made me feel really good. When it got like, I watched the whole thing. Like, that's another reason why I was like, I'm glad I didn't work, because I watched the whole thing. I didn't just watch the totality part. I just like watched the whole progression of it. And that was fun, and just like barbecued and just had beer, and I was in a sundress. I just felt good. It just felt great. Okay. And people were so nice.
Oh yeah, like, they were.
Everybody was in a good flipping mood, which never happens, you know what I mean? Like these days. I know it was kind of, it was weird. But I was so happy to be a part of it, and I just feel like I just wanted to talk about it because I want to encourage us to just, I don't know, like find ways to be a part of like history, find ways to be a part of things that like makes us feel good, and like make our own traditions, make our own moments, and just like be present for them and live in them and like be grateful and appreciate it.
Yo, you said it all that I was going to say. I at this part too. We do need to start a business next time it happens.
Yeah.
Like, spirit of moment, whatever. Let's get ready a year in advance. You know what I'm saying? We like, we're going to have like, you know, Eclipse helmets. You know, we're going to start it a year and a half out. And so that, so that's everybody just know, like, I'll go get your Eclipse helmet.
Yeah.
As soon as that month pop off.
Because I ain't seen no Arkansas-focused, like, Eclipse souvenirs type situation.
I did. Somebody was downtown selling Path of Totality Arkansas Eclipse shirts. And it was like something on the front. And then on the back, it had like the words, but in the front, it was like the Eclipse and like in the symbol of Arkansas or something like that. Like, hey, but it, and the people was buying the hoes too.
They could have been us.
It could have been.
I was.
It could have been me.
I had got into it so much the other day. I was Googling like, how hot is the sun? Like, it made me just want to know about like the planets and like.
now you're in a STEM. You're in a STEM. Like, you're STEM lover.
Like, be a NASA like worker or something like that, but totally. That's something else. It's like capitalization is probably the next thing.
Well, I'm gonna say this, and I'm done with it. The Eclipse was definitely monumental and a great experience. I gotta say that I didn't know how serious it was until recently, and then that day it was even more serious because I was chilling at the bar. I'm going to step outside and watch it like everybody else in that area. And, man, I looked up because I was on my phone just listening to music, and the whole bar was empty. Staff included. No waitresses. I was like, I should go behind the bar and just start pouring up glasses of beer. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't nobody back there, man. And then this group of young black girls walked in, and they was like, sitting behind me talking, they was like, you here for the Eclipse? I was like, yeah. I'm saying, I'm just chilling, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they was like, yeah, we just want to get a drink beforehand. And I was like, oh, everybody gone, y'all. We ain't gonna get no drinks. And she's like, oh, we went outside after that. It's like, okay, everybody out here, including the staff coming back with those Eclipse and Totality shirts. They went and bought shirts and everything for that little 4 minutes.
My dad called me and he was like, are you watching the eclipse? And I'm like, yeah. No, he was like, where you at? You like downtown? And I'm just like, no. He's like, oh, are you watching the eclipse? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, are you? He was like, yeah, they shut the whole mall down. So he was at work at the mall. He worked at the mall. And he's like, I said, they shut the store down? And he's like, no, they shut the whole mall down. And he's like, everybody's outside of the mall. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, they just told everybody to like go outside and like the mall's closed. And I was like, oh, so they just closed the mall then? I was so confused. The mall was closed. But I guess I shouldn't be because they closed the bar. They just, everything was closed for the eclipse.
Now, see, the thing about it was, okay, it probably was a proper announcement with the mall. Like, everybody, sure. We're closing the stores down. Go outside for the eclipse. They probably announced it over the speakers or something like that.
Yeah.
Did nobody say nothing in that bar.
They just,
in the words of, you know what I'm saying, my illustrious brother, they just boned out.
What brother is that?
We'll get into that another day.
Okay.
It's my people behind the walls, right?
Sorry. Okay.
Let's not go there, right?
Well,
he illustrious. Just know that, right? He illustrious.
Well, I'm just looking forward to the next one.
2045. Yeah.
And so we'll just keep the countdown going for the next solar eclipse.
No doubt. No doubt. What else been going on? You know what I'm saying? It's like
a lot.
It's a lot been going on, y'all. Real tough.
I feel like, you know, last time we talked, I think, right? The last podcast episode we did,
yeah.
We talked about female
rap beef.
But now I think there's some rap beef that doesn't involve the ladies.
Yeah, so you know, we talked about Big Glow and Megan and Nicki
and Lotto.
Lotto and Cardi, all of them. So here recently, man, so I was waking up, I was doing my thing, and you know what I'm saying, I hit up social media to see what's trending, and all of a sudden I start seeing K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar, all over the searches.
K-Dot. And then
K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar, all over the search engines and trending. And so I see what it is. Metro Boomin and Future have put out a song called Like That. Okay. And Kendrick is featured on the song.
Okay.
And so when I turn the song on, I'm like, oh, they taking it back. They sampling Joe Cooley and Rodney O. Everlasting Bass. Man, that's one of the coldest beats. But anyway, Rodney O and Joe Cooley, shout out to y'all. Anyway, so the song come on and, you know, Future's doing his thing, how he rap and whatever. I'm like, this like sound like a little club record or whatever. And then Kendrick get on there, you know, start doing all his Kendrick stuff. And he's writing, I mean, he's rapping, and it sounds like he's going at some people. And so quickly everybody understands that he's talking about the big three. There was a J. Cole lyric, and the big three is referencing Ice Cube's basketball league. It's a big 3-on-3 tournament. But J. Cole made the reference, like the big three was him, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake in a song, saying that they were the top artists in hip-hop.
Go ahead, yes.
And Kendrick takes that shot. He's like, MF your big three. I'm the big dog, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Ain't nobody else. And you know I'm a Kendrick fan. And I know you're not a Kendrick fan. You're not the biggest Kendrick
He's
fan.
insufferable to me,
Stop
literally.
it, man. But honestly, I did not like the diss. I didn't like the diss.
And where did the disc come from?
See, I think that's the hard thing to kind of determine. I don't know what inspired him to do it. I mean, it could be just the competitive nature of hip hop, things happen like that.
Yeah.
But you know, here lately, it ain't been competition beef. It's always been like we got real life beef that we're gonna take it to the records. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna put out diss tracks. But it just came out of nowhere because like there was no public feud. First off, two of the rappers in this beef aren't even really public like that. Like you don't see J. Cole using social media a lot. Kendrick act like he don't even know how to use social media at all. He don't communicate with none of that stuff. And of course, Drake is the social media king, you know what I'm saying? So like there hasn't been anything going on to like suggest that they got some type of problem with each other. But I guess Kendrick just wanted to get on the song and just tell everybody y'all not really messing with me. Ain't no big three. I'm the one. I'm the guy that's done all of this and all of that.
He
And
said he the one and the two.
y'all my children. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one, the two, and the three. Ain't no big three.
And the 10.
It's I'm the Trinity. That's what he said. You know what I'm saying?
Insufferable. I
He
like
didn't
that
say it like
video.
that. I'm just
Oh,
talking. I'm
okay.
just talking. But he just basically said that like y'all
Exhausting.
don't matter. Like I'm number one. Ain't no three to even acknowledge. And so like I didn't really like the diss, not because it came out of nowhere, but it was just like it's a Future and Metro Boomin record. Like they don't do nothing but make club music. They don't make anything for anybody to like, I don't know, like get deep and start trying to figure out stuff. Like, who are you talking about? Like, they just do stuff for clubs. But then again, they asked him to be on the song. So you never know what Kendrick gonna do anyway. You know, so,
Okay.
but he decided to do that. And everybody was like, ooh, Drake got this amount of time to respond. J. Cole got this amount of time to respond. So, I guess a week or two later, J. Cole decided to respond with the song called 7 Minute Drill. Dropped the whole album and a song, right?
It was the weekend of Dreamville Fest.
Yeah, which, you know.
Oh, you don't care
I was just saying, like, I don't know which kind of makes me want to wonder, like, was it planned? Was it
about
impromptu? All the type of
it,
stuff, you know. But anyway, he dropped his. Everybody was like, oh man, that was weak. That was a weak response, J. Cole. You could do better than that. You know, you had a whole 7 minute song dedicated to this. He only had a verse. Oh,
exactly.
and yeah. So then he goes back and says, I apologize for putting that energy out there. I'm removing that song from the streaming services. I shouldn't have done that. I never wanted to like let that type of energy off. And everybody was just like, come on, J. Cole. Like, you don't drop a weak diss track and then
And then
apologize and then say,
apologize
I'm
and
removing
then
it.
pull it.
That's not the culture of beef and rap. And so, yeah, everybody was kind of tripping off that. And me too, because I'm like, once you record it and release it, ain't no turning back. But I kind of felt like there wasn't even a need for him to respond to Kendrick Lamar. Because like it came from out of nowhere. It got your name trending. And you know what I'm saying? It just wasn't, to me, it wasn't a great diss track. It was a club record that he turned into a diss track. And
Sad.
so yeah, so I just and then I heard something that people said was Drake's diss, and Drake was going off on it. He went a little bit harder than Cole. But for a while, nobody knew even Drake was going to respond because he addressed the beef publicly at one of his shows. And he was just like, forget y'all, this is my year. Don't worry about these haters. When haters talk about you, whatever, just know they only there because they want to try to stop your shine and ain't nobody going to stop you. And that's the message I want to give all y'all. Don't let nobody stop y'all either. Woo! And that was the end. Did that at the show, but then he dropped the track recently. So hey, shout out to Drake for going at it. But in my opinion, I the The whole thing I was just saying about the females, I was like, stop all the beefing. Because it's real with them. Like, they don't like each other.
Yes.
I was like, stop all that beefing and take over the sport. And like, because women on top right now. Kind of similar to like women's basketball. Like, women shining in rap. People like are tired of men requesting women's songs. That's why it's so funny. Like, play that new Sexy Red song. That's like people like complaining about men requesting Sexy Red in the club. People are complaining that men are requesting Yeah Glow in the club. Play that. And so it's the same way with like women's sports. It's like for the first time ever in championship history of the NCAA, the women had higher ratings than men. But it was no shock. The women had higher ratings all year long in sports, in college basketball than men did. Like the games with the women were playing, they were in television TV, like way higher ratings. And so I said that, like, yo, y'all just come together, y'all can take over the game. Well, to me, this is an example of why the men are losing in hip hop right now. It's because, like, you guys don't even have beef.
Right.
And y'all just decided to, like, put these tracks out.
Do these diss tracks.
And then they, like, I for one wasn't very impressed. But at the same time, that is the culture of hip hop. But it was just like the person who started it. It's just like you've been held quiet lately. Like nobody expected anything from you. So,
well, it's also interesting too because it feels like once somebody starts in on the beef, it sort of just like is a domino effect. Mm-hmm. So, like more recently, I saw that like now Rick Ross is in on the break to beef or something.
Yeah.
So it feels like you said kind of like disingenuous because it's like half of y'all got songs together or have some work together in some capacity.
All of them got songs with each other.
All you guys have songs with each other. And then it's also weird that like Kendrick would say something about like being the whatever, the trifecta or whatever.
Or you just saying he's the one.
Whatever, when he's the one.
Yeah.
And F the big three or whatever, which I don't know anything about this big three thing, but
you gotta watch basketball, dude.
Great. But like Kendrick is like making this, you know, like big deal about him being number one, but it's just like you don't even make music like that. Like you don't even have music. Like the music that people that we know you from was from a long time ago.
So you're not a fan of the Mr. Morale and Big Steppers.
You need to go all like in the trash. Like it's gotta go in the trash. You know it's gotta go in the trash, Osiris.
I ain't gotta go in the trash. It just wasn't one of his best albums.
Right, exactly. So like okay, great. So all the music that we even know you from is like old. Nobody even like you're not even doing music these days. So why would you go on? Why would you try to make yourself relevant by starting beef? Like all you gotta do is just make better music or good music, and then you wouldn't have to be inciting beef. And then also, I also wonder if like maybe he was not starting beef. Maybe he was just stating his opinion about who he is as an artist or who he is as like a rapper or whatever in hip hop, and people around him made it seem like he was making a beef statement. I feel like that's something else too. I feel like consumerism puts us in this weird seat where we have to like come up with conclusions or like summaries or like some conjecture about what people say when they make music.
Mm-hmm.
Like lyrics can be one thing. Lyrics can be said, their words grouped together to make a song. But then all of us are just kind of left up to our own devices to make an interpretation. So like, do we know that it's actually like a beef track or that he was inciting beef by saying these things?
Yeah. We know that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because he recited one of J. Cole's lyrics. And he flipped it. And was like, you know what I'm saying? What y'all gonna do? I'm the one. I'm the K with all, I some pups. I'm the K with all these nines.
Okay, great. So then back to you, Kendrick. Why are you doing that?
I don't know.
Why aren't you just making yourself relevant by making good music and not that little bad Mr. What is it, Mr. Rogers sweater or whatever it's called? Why are you doing that? And then J. Cole, like, don't be self-righteous. Don't release a diss track and then become self-righteous and talk about how you're gonna, first of all, they said it wasn't that good. Actually, I don't know about any of this. I haven't heard any of it. But I'm just saying, like, don't become self-righteous after you do a diss track that wasn't good and then try to make it seem like, oh, you not trying to beef with your quote-unquote brother. That is Hotepian. Don't be a Hotepian. Just do it. Just what they say, what do the children say? Just stand on business. Just do it. Like the children say. The children say stand on business. So you could have just left that up. I ain't even got a chance to hear it good before you took it down. And now you all on the Dreamville stage talking about how this your brother and you don't want to do this and do that. No, you did it already. You need to keep it up. You didn't even let the track breathe long enough to be having no second thoughts about it. Like, you took it down because it was bad. That's what it's giving for me. Then we already got people beefing that don't need to beef. So then Rick Ross, you just go and go eat your lemon pepper wings and leave us out of it. Go.
You know what that reminded me of when he got into it with him?
What?
It reminded me of what happened earlier this year when Cat Williams started talking about Cedric the Entertainer, Ricky Smiley, Steve Harvey. And then other comedians just want to jump in it because it was like the hottest topic.
That's tired. Don't do that.
So all of a sudden, Bruce Lee, that would have been me. He would have, I would have did this, like, but Bruce Bush, he never even mentioned your name. And then Mike Epps come out like, oh yeah, hey, why are you talking about them? You need to be saying this about me. And then it's like, he don't even do movies like this, huh? Like,
that is weak and it's tired and
I'm like, so y'all mad at the moment that somebody trended, and that's what it seemed like, so you didn't even get mentioned, but now you put yourself into the beef. You're not even label mates. You know what I'm saying? Like, just interject yourself.
Just interjecting yourself. And now we all just have to be here. Like, we're all just subjected to it. And like, we don't want to be. We want people to make good music. And like, I seen that, like, I thought that J. Cole and I feel like I did hear this. J. Cole and Drake are going to be going on tour together. And I think at the earlier in the year, they were saying that, like, they pushed the dates or something. So now I don't know, like, if J. Cole only doing certain dates with Drake or what. I don't really know.
That's a interesting combination on tour.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they both popular, but still, like, usually the typical J. Cole fan is not really a Drake fan and vice versa.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, some people like J. Cole is the GOAT. And then you got other folks like Drake is the GOAT. And where do you hear somebody say J. Cole my number one, Drake my number two, or Drake is my number one and Cole is my number two? You never really hear that. And then you got this whole thing with like people who like Kendrick and J. Cole, and they always like comparing both of them or whatever. Especially because of how they both like entered the rap game. What really all three of them in the rap game. Drake came on the Lil Wayne wing. So you got more Lil Wayne friends who listen to Drake. J. Cole came under, remember, J. Cole was like Jay-Z's protege when he first came out. So a lot of Jay-Z fans just naturally started listening to J. Cole because Jay-Z kind of was like the one saying, this is a new guy. And then Kendrick, you know, he had the big co-sign from Dr. Dre. We've seen what that has done like over the last few decades. With Dre linking with Cube, and then Dre and Snoop, then Dre and Eminem, then Dre and 50 Cent, Dre and The Game, and then Dre and Kendrick Lamar. So all the three of them had like huge stamps in the game. And now it's like, They all arguing about who number one when people that put them on at different points were all arguably considered like the best in the game. Dre more with the production side and developing talent, but Wayne and Jay-Z was a whole big best rapper alive talk for both of them for years.
I think it's also interesting too, because the whole like who's the best thing is also one of those more like objects of like conjecture. Like, we're gonna all listen to music that we sonically enjoy.
Yeah.
So like, Kendrick, if J. Cole or Drake or none of them could ever be considered number one in my book, because I don't particularly enjoy their music.
Best rapper to you is school.
I don't even have to talk about my the best rapper to me. I just don't have a best
favorite
rapper.
Favorite?
I have some favorite rappers, but like,
can you give us one or two?
Do I think they're number one? No.
Can you give us one or two of your favorite rappers?
I really like Black Thought.
Okay.
I think he's like one of my most favorite rappers.
That's legit.
Yep. And I really like Schoolboy Q. You know, if we talk about like TDE, people in TDE, like I feel like Q is better than Kendrick.
You know, Kendrick left TDE too, right?
Yeah, that's why he made that trash album. He just threw that up and he just threw some trash on the thing so he could get up out of TDE. But
yo, so I feel like this. I can't sit there and be a hypocrite.
Okay.
If I told the women to stop beefing and just come together and do music. But I will say this right here. I don't envision them dudes ever trying to come together and just like, they all got pretty big egos when it comes to it. And, you know, it's well-deserved. I mean, you got award winners, platinum selling, Pulitzer Prize winners, all the time stuff. But at the same time, it's like all the beef we've been hearing, like, lately in rap, I guess that's my only thing I can't compromise on. That's why I said I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. All the beef we've been hearing lately in rap, when it came from the men's side, was all, like, lately was just, like, your life is on the line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's so true.
You know what I'm saying? Your life, we had no beef where people weren't talking about killing each other in rap in a long time.
That's good.
So that was good on that level, but I just wasn't impressed. You know what I'm saying? So I guess they did, in a way, take it back to the essence of the sport of hip hop.
Yeah.
Because, like, back then it was just all about, like, who's better than who. I'm the best, but it was the presentation just was off to me. It's like you jumped on a track of Future and Metro Boomin, and you wanted to like state your claim to rap supremacy. Nah, like bro, go get you a beat from Ninth Wonder and let's get a better chorus. Let's go in lyrical and let's not make a guest appearance to do that. Like you featured. It's not even your song.
It's not even your song.
Yeah, you should have just been on there talking about what Future and Metro Boomin was talking about.
He is insufferable.
Okay.
Okay. Well, hopefully, I don't know. They either will become friends or they will.
I believe they are friends already.
Okay,
well, they just friends that ain't talked on the phone in a long time.
Maybe hopefully they'll get back on the phone and they could just, you know, get back to feeling better about each other.
And it could have been all fluff. It could have been all like planned.
Yeah. That's what I was saying about, you know, how do we know that these are even beef? Like I remember even with the Nicki Minaj thing, like she had a line in one of her songs about like, I don't even know, like I don't know. A line about like Tory or something, and either Iggy or Azealia Banks or something. I don't really know the line, but she had a line where she was talking about like Tory Lanez, and everybody thought that like she was saying something about Meg. And I'm just like, we don't know that. I mean, we don't know that when these people say something, it's supposed to be directed. I mean, I know you clarified it with the Kendrick song, but we don't know when people say something, it is beef. And then what happens is, like, now people are on the internet, like, oh, this is beef, or somebody's like, yo, like, did you hear this track by such and such? And now somebody feels insecure about it, and now they have to respond. And now that's how they, like, something that wasn't really beef, or wasn't meant to be beef, has become beef, and it's just like spiraling. Now everybody's in it, and we all in the group chat. I don't love it.
All right. Well, you heard it from the boss. Boss. Ooh, you know what I'm saying? I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far.
I'm exhausted.
Hey, but
Talking about
yo,
it.
moving right along.
Yeah.
But look, y'all. Today, we want to also acknowledge that this past week, O.J. Simpson
Oh my gosh.
passed away.
The juice man.
The juice man, O.J.
Orenthal. What kind of a name is Orenthal?
I have no idea.
I wonder if
Sound like
anyone.
something you put in your mouth to for a rotten tooth or something. I don't know.
If anybody had that name before
Hey,
him.
yo, you know what? While we're here, let's just go ahead and look it up. Because, yeah, Orenthal,
That is a
man.
wild name.
Hey, and you know what I'm saying? Was he Orenthal Jr. or was his middle name James or something
I
like
thought it
that?
was James.
Okay,
I don't think.
you know people get the J sometimes for being a junior. So that's what I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, I thought it was Orenthal James Simpson or something.
Okay, well, yeah, nah, man, I don't know where that name came from, but yeah, OJ is no longer in here with us in the physical, and yo, man, that was some unexpected, unexpected news. I mean, first off, I didn't even know he had cancer.
I did not either.
I didn't know he had cancer,
But apparently it was announced. So
like.
it was announced that he had cancer, like maybe like a year or two. Whenever he got the diagnosis, I was seeing that like it was announced. Like it was something that kind of had been put out there that he was battling with prostate cancer.
Didn't know that. Didn't know that at all. But yeah, man, OJ passed. And of course, you know, the internet was full of jokes and tributes and, you know, all of this and that and
Everything in between.
everything, you know. And that's why when I saw it, I was like, let me make sure this ain't no joke. Like, OJ Simpson died. But like at the same time, it was like, wow, like you really got to think about like his life. Like OJ, man, took I don't know if we ever, I don't think we'll ever in our lifetime see a bigger court case media-wise. Yeah, O.J. Simpson trial.
Well, somebody was like,
What's been a, has there been a bigger spectacle since
I
then?
don't think so.
I don't think so either, man.
But wasn't Ray Lewis almost in the same boat a little bit?
He was, but like not on the same level as O.J. Like Ray Lewis was just a part of a fight where people got killed in the fight. And you know what I'm saying? Like he could have got hit with the murder charge just by being involved in everything, but he had the most to lose. And then it was like all this type of stuff. He was lying and the bloody suit and all that type of stuff. But OJ K, and then he was still playing football when all of this happened. But OJ, man, like he was retired from football. He been in these movies. He
Commercial.
Hall of Famer already, commercials. He was a commentator, like doing NFL games or whatever football games he was doing, college or something like that. Man, second wife, new set of kids, and then like he in like I don't even know how to compare it to where I live at, but he in Simi Valley in this place where like only you exclusively in this community.
Exceptionally exclusive, like, and wealthy.
Rich, wealthy, all that type of stuff. And this happened in this place where, like, you don't expect to see nobody just get stabbed to death or shot.
I mean, and the way that they was, like, Nicole was almost, like, decapitated.
Yeah.
So, like, the way that they murdered these people was extremely brutal.
And then you got to think about it, too. It was right after Rodney King.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this... Which you know, we ain't got to talk about.
It was in California.
Yeah, in California. So all in the same area, just miles apart from each other. But everybody seen that these cops was guilty of beating the out of Rodney King, and then they all beat the case. With video evidence, they all beat the case. Oh,
and it was like the first of its kind, the video evidence thing.
Oh, yeah.
Literally like the first of its kind.
Yeah. And now that's like.
Now he's watching it on 4K. Like,
yeah, every time it happened now. But that was living. Now you got to. That was definitely ahead of the game. And so right after that, this happens. And then it's OJ.
Oh, my gosh.
OJ. And so, like, man. So, like, just going back to the point. I don't think we'll ever see a trial like that ever again in our lifetime, with the magnitude, with the media, with the tension in the country, of that happening after like a traumatic police brutality case. And it's just like, man, this how wild this is. I just recently watched like one of them videos. It was like a Ring camera video that was like going viral on the internet. And it was like a dude from the post office or either Amazon, FedEx, something like that. And he was going to the doorstep to deliver a package. And at the same time, the white lady is walking out the door. He black, she white. He delivering a package and they walking up at the same time. They startle each other. She jumps like, oh, she screaming. He's like, oh. He's like, I'm just here to get the little package. I'm not OJ. And then they both had like a big laugh about it. Like she laughing, like if she was laughing when she was like, oh, she's like, it's okay. You just startled me. Cause it was natural when you both y'all walk, you opening your door and he headed to your door.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm not OJ. And she laughed harder. So that just kind of lets you know, like in the country, and we even had conversations about this, like people are still upset. Some people are still happy that he was not guilty. Some people are still very upset that he's found not guilty. But we know one thing for sure, he ain't never got no forgiveness.
No, he never lived that down.
Yeah, he ain't, like this didn't propel him to a better place in no type of way.
Yeah. But I also feel like a part of me is kind of really like conflicted by it because I'm like, he never lived that down. But I feel like also at the same time, he was sort of like using it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
as,
too.
As sort of like his claim to fame almost. Like he would do these skits and stuff, or I just recently seen when he was somebody was interviewing him and she was talking about like, you know, did he do the murder and all this stuff? And then
he's like, no.
Yeah. And then later he comes shows up with a knife, like in her dressing room, his book, like if I would have did it or whatever, or him just like constantly like just kind of gaslighting the media and just the world, and you know, on Twitter, doing all kind of crazy stuff on Twitter, sort of just like taking it and kind of carrying it as a part of his identity. So that it wasn't doing him no favors.
Nah,
like,
it wasn't.
And we couldn't tell if, I couldn't tell, but somebody else may have a different point of view, but like, I couldn't tell if he was just like, oh, let me just, you know, if with these people because they think I did it. Or like, well, since I got away with it, I can just act like I did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't tell where it was coming from. Like, I couldn't tell what the angle was.
Well, my thing was with that, what you mentioned right now, it's like, I couldn't tell either, but white folks do it all the time.
True.
We got Kyle Rittenhouse,
George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman, they doing tours. They doing celebrity matches. It's
That's
like,
true.
if I'm the villain, then let me just
Let
live
me
up
just
to it
be
and make
the
money off of it.
Did you see, and I don't know if this is even true or not, but like, then I'm like, is this like spam or something? Somebody was like, or on Twitter, I saw a thing that was like, he a couple days before he died, he was like, oh, I did that. Oh, I did that shit or something on Twitter. And then it was like his family took it down. Like, I don't know if this is true or not. I went through the thread and tried to see like if this is accurate, and I really couldn't. I don't know who was tweeting it. But I was like, y'all just really just taking the whole thing by storm. And I thought it's also interesting that like I haven't heard much about OJ in a minute. But like when he died, now all of this stuff about the murder trial comes up. And it's just like
Oh, it's back trending on Netflix.
it's trending on Netflix. They just released a 5-part documentary about him. It's not new, but they just put it on Netflix. It's like a new thing that you can watch about OJ. And so it's just like people's life is just kind of reduced to like I guess the biggest thing you're known for. And I guess it wasn't his football career. For him winning the Heisman, none of
Not
that.
after
It was
that.
like this
Not
murder.
after
It was
that.
like this murder.
All it take is one thing, and your downfall will be marked in history by by that. That will be your legacy. OJ, prime example of it. Like you mentioned, Heisman Trophy winning, NFL rushing title holder, Hall of Fame. Movie star, all of husband, father, all those
It
things.
was something about his endorsements too, was
He
like
had,
a big deal or
yeah, he was
something.
like one of the first dudes to like retire and kept on getting endorsements. Like he had, that's why he was doing the commercials with the Avis, the dude running in the airport,
Hurts.
Hertz, yeah, all that type of stuff. That's how much he was like, and then I thought back to the song "Story of OJ" by Jay-Z. I'm not black, I'm OJ. You know what I'm saying? He kind of felt like he had gone beyond the fact that, like, I'm a black sports star. No, I'm OJ Simpson. Nobody can do it like me. I'm in Hollywood. I'm like, they don't even see color when they see me. They just
And
see
that was
OJ.
true. Like he was a mega star. I mean, not necessarily the people that see color, not that. But
That's
people
what he thought,
loved
though.
him. Like black people loved him, white people loved him. Everybody loved OJ. Like I was watching something about his life like some years ago, and I seen people just talk about how like people were starstruck over him. He was a really big celebrity.
I mean, he had the luxury of playing football in his college years in LA. And when you do that, and then you win the Heisman, which is an award that even at the time he was getting the award, they just wasn't just handing that to black men. Like you had to be good, but you had to be exceptionally,
Exceptional,
talented, and you had to have the image. Before he won it, he wasn't the first black person to win, but before he won it was a guy, a lot of black guys who dealt with like racism and had to deal with like being taunted, being attacked, and but being able to like have that Jackie Robinson type of like, I'm gonna suck it up and I'm not gonna mention it and I'm just gonna keep it. I'm not gonna make a political statement. I'm just gonna make it about me being the best. And he was able to do that with a smile and in the 70s, so whatever, late 60s or whatever. But it just goes to show you, like when somebody passed away, like all of that stuff out of your mind. OJ went down in history as the murderer who got away
Who
with
got
murder.
away?
And the guy that would never go away, like afterwards, you just kept on seeing him,
You just kept
and that just
seeing.
really pissed white people off to keep on seeing him. So that's why I was like, wow, OJ did, and it just brought back all the
It
memories
brought back all the
and
memories,
all them jokes.
all the jokes. Something else I thought was interesting was that like it was really I mean, not really eye-opening, but just kind of like a refresher to hear about the case, like the trial. That was really interesting, and just like learning about Mark Furman, and like learning about how like all them forensics and CSI people was all up and through the house contaminating the scene, like no booties on their feet and stuff, and the truck that was supposed to be containing the evidence was broken. It wasn't, it's usually like temperature controlled, but they showed up when a truck did was broke. And so they had all this evidence that was supposed to be, you know, maintaining a temperature environment out just all willy-nilly in the truck. Yep. Or Mark Furman riding around with OJ's blood, you know, going to the grocery store and like going to go pick up his prescription and stuff at Walgreens.
Yeah.
And so it's just like
it's wasting taxpayers' money. Like, this is why we tell y'all.
Him being a trans, you know, having all their plans paraphernalia and stuff in his house. He called people the N-word 47 times in this deposition. Like all that stuff was a refresher, and it just was so interesting to just hear about it again.
Wasting taxpayers' money. This is why we be like, don't give our money to police. They just gonna waste it.
Yo.
Yeah, it's y'all fault. You know what I'm saying?
Do we want to go ahead and transition? Speaking about money for the police or no? Are we done talking about OJ?
Hey, well, yeah. I final thoughts on OJ. Okay. Final thoughts on OJ. Like, yo, I was shocked. And but I will always remember the emotions of the trial, the emotions that people to this day still have towards OJ. He's like, yo, I don't think there is a black man in America who witnessed a bigger downfall other than maybe Bill Cosby, from being so well liked to so hated. But I still think OJ got him beat, because OJ, being somebody that they feel like got away with murder, I feel like Bill Cosby, he got caught with all of this stuff in his older age, which like made some people look a little bit more sympathetic.
Right.
And then more people kind of like not really believe it. Whereas OJ was still in the, like, pretty much, even though he wasn't in football no more, OJ could still go out, still, like, flirt with women, and they'd be like, oh, it's OJ. He'd still date. Like, he wasn't great in his head when he got went to trial.
Right.
OJ looked like he probably was, like, in his 40s, maybe.
Yeah.
If he wasn't in his 40s, he looked like 40s, 30s, or something like that. Yeah. But I know he wasn't in his 30s, for sure.
I think he was in his 40s.
Yeah, and so OJ was, like, in the prime, he's still dating, like,
yeah,
he still could have been a spokesman for this and that, and then it happened like that. Whereas Bill Cosby is like, dude, you can barely walk without assistance.
By the end of his career, he's talking about he going blind and everything.
Yeah, OJ still look muscular, like he can still go do run the track and all type stuff. So I don't think nobody ever witnessed a bigger downfall in like, I don't think no black man has ever witnessed a bigger downfall.
Yeah.
But like, they really love me to like, oh, they hate me.
And they hated OJ.
Yeah.
And still, like you said, to this day, you can get a rise out of people that wasn't even alive then, you know.
OJ didn't do it. Say that. Say that.
Right. Just say he is
go to your,
he is innocent.
Go to your local Elk Lodge. Well, you know OJ didn't do it. What?
They would be, I'd be strung up
somewhere. Exactly. Exactly. Like one of those elk heads on the wall.
Speaking of which, I've been to the Elk Lodge. It's a great time. The key is to go, you got to go with somebody that's a member anyway.
Exactly.
But the key is to go with somebody that's a member that's cool, and you have a ball.
You have a ball.
Drinks is like $2.
Boy. Exclusive. Yo. All right, before we get out of here, man, you know what I'm saying? We gotta talk about this. Netflix then came to the city.
The city of Little Rock is just getting all types of exposure. This is our year. Let's be our year.
Right. We getting eclipses. Mm-hmm. Oh man, we you know what I'm saying, we getting Netflix shows. Somebody said that when people think about Little Rock, this is why Black Talk said on Touchman. People think about Little Rock when I go places, they always mention gangbanging in Little Rock on HBO. Yeah.
Now we got something else.
Now they can mention Unlocked, a jail experience. I had a lot of feelings leading up into watching this show.
Okay.
A lot of feelings. And I will tell you this. I calmed down a whole lot after watching the show. I thought it was going to be just straight exploited. Now, in some ways, it does exploit those people that are in the county jail. But in a way, and people, I'm willing to let anybody who want to debate with me about it, man, say your piece on it and everything. I think that what he's trying to do in those jails, when I'm talking about Sheriff Higgins, is better than what had been going on. And if that's something that can go on beyond just the cameras, you're going to have a hard time arguing with me about him not doing a better job than previous years.
Yeah.
But that show is a trip. That show is a trip, man. And it's just because, like, it just shows you, like, first off, 23-hour lockup and 1 hour of freedom every day is inhumane. I don't care what prison you in or whatever
it's
you
not
got.
Even prison. This is the county jail.
This is the jail, but I'm saying I don't care where you at. You know what I'm saying? 23 hours locked up in a cell in an 8x9 or whatever, you know, whatever the size is, man, that is inhumane. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I get it, like places are understaffed, but at the same time, we dealing with other people. And so, like, I think that's what the show really shows is, like, I'm glad they didn't focus on these guys' charges. Yeah. Some of them guys up in there, yeah, they facing some real, like,
they facing some
charges. Like, this is going to be the last time y'all ever see them.
A couple times I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
remind me. I got to tell you something, too. Oh, okay. After this, I ain't saying it on the air. But they still human at the end of the day. And it's like, regardless of whatever mistakes they made, whatever they did, you know what I'm saying? 23 hours is just locked in that little small area confined. It's just inhumane. But man, like, I know he ruffled some feathers doing this.
Yeah.
He did it. First off, he did it in 2023. So this ain't just a month later after everything, like, you know what I'm saying? He did it without the permission of, or I can say permission, dude, because he can run the jail how he want to. But he did it without letting, like, people in the city know what he had going on. I'm talking about prosecutors, a prosecuting attorney, judges, all that type of stuff. You know, people that probably helped him by giving endorsements, money to his campaign, whatever, you know, because how them politicians roll is how they roll. But it was a... it was a secret. And that's the trip I think about it was, as much as I like be bailing out people from jail, nobody ever said anything to me.
Isn't that crazy to me?
It is. Okay, so let me step back just a quick second. As much as the Little Rock Freedom Fund bail people out of jail, is wild to me that it never got back to us.
Well, I have a friend that's an attorney that said when he was going to see his clients, he saw cameras.
Wow.
So he had been seeing cameras and didn't really know, like,
didn't know what it was about.
Why they was there.
Yeah. So it makes sense a little bit because that's just one unit. Like, people think that was like the only male unit up in there. No, they got like several male units in there. Same with the female unit too. So, like, but it was just crazy that, man,
to keep that buzz off the streets because they was getting free phone calls.
That's crazy.
They was getting free phone calls. And then that make a little sense to me too. Now I was like, man, my phone number was getting blown up a little bit last year. I'm just thinking like, hey, your name get out there for doing stuff like this, right? Yeah. Your number get passed around.
Yeah.
I'm like, free phone. They want phones all day and all night for that little 4-5 week period they did this. Well, I'm saying he didn't give them the privilege until
yeah.
So I don't know which week it was, but you know, but I'm like, man, they was on that jack every day. And calling people that they ain't, you know, normally talk to.
They was just like, we just gonna be calling everybody.
Yeah. And then the visitation, all that type of stuff. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, the show was a trip. Anybody watch the show, man, I think they're going to talk about my guy, True Story. True Story was up in there. I've been in the power team. You know, I've been in the power team. He had the voice. You know, he was the pod boss.
He was getting my nerves.
That became a mentor. And he was
the most institutionalized Negro on that show. He was driving me insane.
And look, but I you get where he's coming from because he kept on saying, I don't want to go back behind them doors. And that just lets you know, like,
sure.
That's how serious he was about it. He was like being able to walk in and out the cell at any point.
Yeah.
Just even if you need to just clear your mind and get up and move around. Because one thing about it was you saw what they were sleeping on. It wasn't like they just had big, comfortable, full-size, queen-size beds up in there or something like
and
that.
And I mean, also, I don't know if you could just take what you were sleeping on and just roll it up and roll it out to another place.
Yeah.
Like they was like, get your stuff and you could just roll your bed up.
They say roll out. That's what they carry. Roll up.
Roll your stuff and just carry it on. Like I didn't know.
You get all your belongings. You might have like a little bag or something like to put some belongings in, but you roll everything up in that little thin
thing. I mean,
that mat. Don't call it a mattress. It was not a mattress. It was a mat. That was a mat. That was like a little. Think about it. Remember when we was like kindergarten, we used to take naps and they used to have a little nap time. We had a little fold out mat.
Yes, that's what it was.
That's what it was. But guess what? You like 10 pounds.
Right.
10, 11, 15 pounds. Imagine your 200-pound self sleeping on something thin like that every night.
Every single night.
I know your back.
But not even every night, because if you just in the bunk, I mean, if you just in the cell, you ain't got, it ain't like you got anywhere else to sit. So you're probably wearing that down because you're just sitting on your bunk all day for 23 hours and you're not getting down doing some push-ups or something.
Yeah.
But you're hanging out on your bunk because there's nowhere for you to just lounge. Yeah. That's the only place you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, I get it, you know what I'm saying? But the show, I think, like, I don't know if those guys on that show got any type of compensation. Because you know they had to sign waivers to do all that type of stuff. But I'm pretty sure they would have did it without any compensation, just for the ability to not be sitting there 23 hours of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I hope, you know, it was some funny moments. It was some very sad moments.
Yes.
A lot of things hit home, especially when you see somebody up in there that you recognize. You know what I'm saying? That's what hit home for me.
That would have made me feel crazy.
Nah, I would make you feel real crazy when you get done talking. When you see people up in there that you recognize, that's when it hit home for some people. But I hope it hit home for everybody, because it's like people like Little Rock Freedom Fund, the organization that I work for, we know what they're going through. We experience some of the same issues. And it's good that other people get to see that, like, yes, it's somebody sitting up in there simply because they don't have $1,000. What $1,000 to you, like, might be, you know what I'm saying, not even enough to pay your mortgage. To them, it's the difference between sitting in there for a year and a half until trial, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
I personally saw somebody up in there that I know. I'm going to tell you, when I seen him, I almost didn't recognize him. Because they've been
there.
They've been there longer than 1 year, longer than 2 years. I ain't gonna say how long, because that might give away who it is, but I'm just saying. So, like, I hope people understand it, like, you know, that pretrial detention stuff is not always keeping somebody in there that deserves to be in there.
Right. Especially if you've proven, if you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. I think that's the part that really messes me up.
Because one of the other guys on there that, like, people liked, and he became, like, probably one of the most well-known people on there, Tiny.
Tiny was my dog. I hope I run into him at the gas station or something, because that is my dog.
And you see, Tiny was up in there. He said when he got his visit, when he finally got to see his son after years of not seeing him, he said this right here. He said, they null pros my charges. When somebody get their charges null pros, that means basically we don't want to take this trial. The prosecutor is saying, we dropping it. We don't want to go trial this or none of that type of stuff. We ain't got time to do that. Hey, let him go. He said his charges was null pros. And then they brought him back up and locked him back up again. So I got to understand how that happened. Real talk.
It's crazy.
Because if that is the case, that is wild. Because it's like, when they null pros charges, that means they throwing it out.
Yeah.
Null pros, which I've had some charges null pros. Null pros basically mean, okay, he either had an agreement that you don't get in trouble for this amount of time, we're not going to move forward with the case, or you showed up to court over and over again and they wasn't ready for the trial, the prosecutor, and it's getting to that point where, like, you had a right to a speedy trial and they're not giving it to you, and then they'll say, null pros. We ain't got time in dealing with this. Whoever supposed to be showing up to testify to all this type of stuff, they not showing up, which is usually like a police officer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the evidence is not there. We don't have time to do this. You've been fighting this for too long. So for the fact
that continuous and stuff like
that. Yeah. So the fact that he has some charges, null pros, and then if they brought him back up, or they said he violated some type of probation or parole or something like that. That just showed you, like, and then at the end of when they're doing all this, where are they now stuff, he's free.
He's free.
Like, he didn't go to prison. He sat in there probably at the time.
He said he beat his charges. I don't know what that means.
In his
commentary, he said he beat his charges.
Basically, they probably was like, what are we talking about? Did they already get null pros or whatever like that? Yeah. So he beat him. So it's just going to show you, like, he's at the time when they talked to his son, he said he had been up in there for eight months.
Yeah.
So we know this happened in 2023, and don't tell how long he was up in there, 3 more months, or 4 more months, whatever. But yeah, it was an eye-opening experience for some, but for me, it was just like one of the reasons why I do the work that I do. I'm done talking. I feel like I just talked all over my
head. No, it's okay. I feel like I do want to say, I don't think we could what the actual show is about.
Go ahead.
So the show is called Unlocked, and the current Pulaski County Sheriff, Eric Higgins, which is on his second term as sheriff, comes in and introduces this prison experiment where he wants to take a unit in the Pulaski County Jail, and he wants to leave the doors unlocked 24 hours a day. So before the experiment starts, the inmates, I guess they call inmates, the inmates are in there, like Osiris was saying, they're in their cell for 23 hours a day. They get 1 hour rec time, which is when you get to, like, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think you get to, like, take a shower.
Yep.
You get to call, use a phone.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go outside. Like, they have a little outside rec area. You play a little basketball or something. Might get you with a little game of spades in or something like that. And you got to do all that within an hour. And then you go back. Do they eat in their cells?
Yeah.
So then they're doing everything in their sales except for the 1 hour time that they have on recreational.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's because, you know, they going to get at least 2 meals a day, and then they can get 2 of them in that hour. So
the experiment would be 6 weeks of time with so while they're locked up 23 hours a day, they also have a deputy in the like common area at all times. And the deputy is like watching like the cameras and stuff like that, just going around doing count and stuff like that. Well, the experiment that the Sheriff Higgins wanted the doors to be open, and he wanted the deputies out completely. And the deputies, they would still have 24-hour surveillance. The captain would be watching, the sheriff would be watching, the other correctional officers and stuff would be watching on video, but then they would also be kind of watching like through the door, and then they still come inside of the unit to do count. However often they do that. So that's the premise of the experiment, 6 weeks. And along the journey of this 6-week experiment, he introduces benefits to them. I can't remember all the benefits right now, but I know
he gave them, well, the first benefit was like opening doors. The second benefit was free phone calls.
Yeah. That's right.
The third one was, I want to say, extra visitations. And
I think that was it.
I think, did he give him commissary more commissary? Like,
no, I don't think there were any changes to the commissary. I don't think, but yeah, and he would slowly introduce like these benefits throughout the 6 weeks of the experiment. I had a few mixed emotions like throughout it. I did at some point, you know, feel like, wow, is this exploitive? Like, it did feel a little exploitive to me at sometimes, but it did kind of give like this crazy, like emotional roller coaster. I'm gonna say this one thing, like I don't want to give too much away, but this one thing it was a few things that kind of took my breath away, but like this one thing that took my breath away was they showed this one white dude, and this is how I know that like I'm humane. Like, even though this is as a matter of black, and like I really, really, really have a strong allegiance to black people, I know I'm still like a human being, because they showed this white dude that was had to be put on suicide watch.
Yeah.
After they had some issues, they had to put him on suicide watch, which is worse, to be honest, than like what he was experiencing just by being on lockdown for 23-1.
Yeah.
They put him in solitary confinement as a suicide watch, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But we were kind of just talking about, you know, he was talking about what he was going through and how he was suicidal and stuff like that, and he had just going through stuff. And then they cut to a news scene that was like active shooter at CHI St. Vincent, and sure wasn't up Little Rock. Trip me out.
Because that was like, on white on white violence episode.
It was on the white on white violence episode. They were showing this. This dude was in. And I felt bad for him, right?
Yeah.
So like before they cut to the thing, you could just see it in his eyes. He was not doing well. It was like both solitary confinement, and all his friends and stuff was like, "Come on, dog, you know, we'll see you in a couple of days or whatever." You know, I felt so bad for this man. They must have cut to the news scene that it was like, this was the man. The man is on suicide watch. This was the man that was an active shooter at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to just like stroke out, because it was just like, why are y'all doing this to us? It's like this emotional, like just this emotional, like hostage situation. So there was just like a bunch of mixed emotions for me in that moment. You know, he did kill somebody when he was an active shooter at a hospital, which is wild as a thing and a crime and a concept and an experience. And at the same time, he's going through this stuff in the Pulaski County Jail, which is not a cool place to be for anybody. So anyway, I just like wanted to kind of point that out. But it's also really just interesting. A few things that was also like jarring for me was like, I mean, and I get it, but I'm talking more so about life in jail more so than anything, but like how they fight physically to like deal with their problems, that bothered me. And like, it was sort of just like a consensus. Like if you doing something wrong, you could just get punched and everybody is understood. You at some point, you can't even fight back. Like if somebody feels like you gotta be punished physically, they punch you in the face a couple times and like you can't fight back or you get beat up more. Or like there was a situation where they were like playing games and somebody felt like, oh, this is not fair. So instead of being like, hey man, you cheated or whatever, like that's not how you play. Y'all just take off your shirt and like square up and start fighting. That was crazy to me. Cause I'm just like, this what you do, this is what you are subjected to in jail.
Yeah.
And so it just gave me like, it just put it in another like in my psyche, every, like this is what people are dealing with when they be in jail.
It's that, and that's when you have nothing productive to really just do. And the fact that you're in there with people who have nothing else to lose.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're going to go away for 40, 50, the rest of your life, you think I'm not going to take the time? You think I'm going to take the time to, like, have a rational discussion with you about why you're cheating doing this or disagreement that we had, or why you don't need to do this right here? No. It's like, I can't do nothing up in here but rack up more time. I got enough time up here. Well, to be here, well, I won't get out. So yeah, I'd rather just beat your head in to release some stress and do that. And then he said it on there. He said, this is the reason why they don't have cards in prison.
Right, he did. So this is the reason why we don't do any of that. And I mean, yeah. Just thinking about
it. I've seen somebody get their head busted open with a card table for reneging in spades.
And see, this will be
and that happened outside. That happened in regular world.
In your world, where you be like, what you be doing with your people stuff.
I don't even play spades, but
I just was thinking like it really is one of those things. I don't even know if it was just how it was shot or just like where I am emotionally, but it really just for the first time in a long time. Had this really like this experience of like not even like it was like an empathy, but I really just really put myself in the shoes of these people because I was like, there is no way I would survive in jail. First of all, you're not gonna be fighting me and stuff like that. Like I wouldn't be able to play no game. I already don't play games in the real world on the outside because I'm not that competitive. But like, there are times
I thought you said I don't play no games.
No,
I don't play no games.
No, it's different.
I don't play no. You said I don't play no games. How about calling you no games bully?
That's really like
that'll be your nickname up there. Hey man, y'all leave no games alone.
Yo, like
no games. You want some cups there? No, none of your cups.
Why did you be a deep voice?
Because that's like that would be your persona. Yeah.
I would really have to have a persona because I would be terrified. Like you could just do something and people just want to hit you in the face. That is crazy to me. And then it's like this mind game. Like you could probably just be like, you could probably just do something that you just didn't know was bad or was like a slight or something. And then next thing you know, you getting motherfucking, jumped in the corner. You get jumped in the corner by like 30 girls or something.
But that's what they saying up in there. It's like certain rules. It's like you don't like the first fight on the show starts.
first couple fights start with disrespect.
Yeah.
Calling somebody a liar, calling somebody a cheater, talking to somebody and cussing at them when you're talking to them when you ain't supposed to be doing them. And those type of things that escalates very quickly because of the stress level in there. Keep in mind, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't, like, what stress reliever do you really have?
Don't have any stress reliever
in there.
I mean, if you, unless you're talking about getting ramen noodles, every half offer you get ramen noodles or Cheeto puffs or something.
All that sodium. That ain't helping your stress, no.
Emotional eating helps some people.
But yeah.
It's temporary, but still.
But that cholesterol and sodium, Adam, all that starch, Adam on edge.
Probably making it worse.
Yeah. You just sat there and ate a whole room of noodles pizza. with chili, hot chips. Your stomach on fire. You full, but your stomach, you just waiting on an ulcer, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Smoking like coffee, cigarettes. I've never heard of that before in my life.
Oh, yeah, that's common. That's very common. You know what I'm saying? That caffeine. And they doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Smoking straight caffeine.
Okay, yeah.
Caffeine paper.
I actually wouldn't mind trying it. But
over here charged up. Watch somebody put the battery in your back. Man, they had one scene, they were smoking them that coffee sticks, man. And then they was on the phone on the next scene, and then the buzzer went off. It was like, and the dude was over there talking, he just shook like he was like doing an electric boogaloo or something. And I was like, he high off that coffee. You know what I'm saying? He high off that coffee. That thing, that buzzer didn't gave him a nervous tick.
Well, I will say, I feel like the last thing I have to say is it was great to watch them, even though I felt like what was triggering for me was the like institutional part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like when you was talking about Randy, you know, how he didn't want to go back to being on lockdown. But it's like, Randy, you could be doing this same type of thing in the real world. And that was frustrating to watch. It's like, okay, so you able to organize and lead and mentor, even though he was doing a terrible job, if you ask me, of mentoring. But he was keeping some things in order. He also could see what would be a problem and what wasn't a problem. Like him doing the trays every day for the food, or whenever they got the free phones, and you know, it was kind of going crazy when everybody got the phone access. He was the one that came up with the idea of having a phone sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was smart. That was enterprising. That was innovative. But it's like, Randy, don't be all of that in jail. Like, be all of that on the outside. So that was frustrating to me because he was saying he was in and out of prison his whole life. Mm-hmm. But he probably was just the same, doing the same type of stuff while he's been in and out of jail. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, why can't you just apply that to your life on the outside? And I know it's like a very like blanketed statement. I know it's nuanced to everything. So I ain't, you know, don't get wrong. But still, that was frustrating to see. Like, damn, like he has the potential to do blah, blah, blah. But instead you want to talk about how you don't want to be locked down on the inside for 24 hours, but you wouldn't even have to be in jail if you would just do right on the outside.
Well, you know what I'm saying? And that goes back to other things too as well. Like he said he was, We talking about this show in depth. So like
episode.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this right here. Like, one of the things he did mention was his issue with addiction to drugs.
Okay, I must have missed
that. Yeah. And he talks about that like in the first episode, like how he was experimenting with drugs, and that's what kind of led to him getting in there and getting locked up. And so I think that like once you because one thing you do, you don't see him really participating in the other illegal activity. Yeah. Like he might get rough and loud with some people, but he wasn't like, hey man, pass me some of that. So like when you get your mind clear and sober up, you're able to like make better decisions and choices for yourself. Like another one of the guys up in there, he talked to me like, man, I'm just trying to stay out the way, woo, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I've been a meth addict for such and such. This is the longest I've ever been clean. And I was like, you're able to make those decisions when you finally get away from the things that are holding you back, those enablers. But
just go watch it.
Go watch it.
We'll just tell you all the whole thing from episode to episode. Because I was tuned in. I was locked in. I really, like I said, appreciated like the lessons that the inmates had gotten. I really loved the very end when we was able to see the people that made it out of jail. And that I was happy to see some of the people that were, you know, were doing well, were still kind of hanging in there. They was in jail, but they were still kind of hanging in there from what we understand. It was just really interesting to see. So yeah, I think that people should go watch it. I met the sheriff a couple times. When I met him, I really did think he was cool. I know he was the police, but I was like, you cool as a cop. I think that he has good intentions, and hopefully the political side of that won't be ruined.
I hope he got good intentions. That's what I say. I have met him, and I say, you know what I'm saying, like, I hope he got good. What he's doing, if it goes beyond the cameras, then I say that I think that he is going in a good direction, and you really can't say much negative about that.
Yeah.
Even though you could talk about the negative that was going on before that, because like I said, that's inhumane. I don't care if it's COVID pandemic, it's inhumane. But now going in this direction, you know that somebody else ain't even thinking about doing that type of stuff. Even his own staff is like, this don't sound like a good idea.
The staff had me rolled.
They didn't think it was going to last longer than 24, 48 hours.
The black dude that was the captain, he had me rolling. Like, he was just like, he was looking at the sheriff like, this man is
crazy. Yeah, they the women was too. They looked like, what's on your mind? they like, we thought this was going to be 60 days in. We thought this was gonna be 60 days and they're gonna be here. We gonna find some contraband, we're gonna find who doing this and doing that. Nah, he talking about ain't no rules, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no locks, but hey, it's some rules, but ain't no locks on the door.
Oh man.
Well, hey, that was fun.
Loved this fun episode. Thanks everybody for listening. Don't forget to check out the comment box on Spotify, on Apple, and vote for us in the Urbane Magazine down until April 30th. So we're gonna push this out. Because it would be cool to see like how it you know works out for us.
All right, until next time, peace.
Toodle.